The madness that it is here on Overtime, DOC and Heavy Metal. Tag teaming you here, WWE style, and 1-800-636-1067 is the number. And we appreciate the fact that Brother Bonesy, K9, has stepped up to the plate. Good afternoon, good morning, and what up?
Hey, my brother, good afternoon, brother Doc Walker. Shout out to my main man, Max, Heavy Metal. Yeah, man, I understand what Holder is talking about, right? You know, and the situation with Kevin Willis, you know, I'm sorry for that, man. You know, I definitely apologize that, you know, the Maryland Terps fans, you know, got to go through that, right? But what we got to do, we got to, you know, the next whoever come back in here, we got to try to keep the talent in this area, man, because we got a lot of talent that's leaving out of this area, man, you know. And, then the coach, the next coach, man, you know, man, make these guys do some push-ups, man, because we got to be, Terps got to be a little more aggressive on them boards and in that defense, man, so that, man, they can, you know, get them rebounds, man, because that's how we got beat. We got beat on the boards, right? These last few games I've been watching, you know, like last night, you know what I mean? Man, they've been some really good games, man, you know, and I see the aggressiveness that these teams play for, especially them guys from Michigan, you know, they're going to go a long way, Wolf and Golden, right? And the guy Broom for Auburn, you know. So, man, we just got to, man, you know, keep the talent in the area. Keep the talent in the area. And we ain't got to, don't trip off of Kevin Willis. If he want to go, let him go, man, because we got some good coaches here, man, that I think could do a hell of a job. You know, like JP was talking about Yasin Kasevich, you know what I mean? And also talking about the homeboy Dickie Simpsons, man, you know. So, man, let's see if we can get these guys in here and, you know, they can keep the alumni and, you know, and keep the talent in this area, man, you know what I mean? And, you know, man, let's go Terps, man. As far as for the Commanders, man, you know, hey, we're going to be all right, man, you know. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I love you guys, man. Peace, man.
Appreciate it, Bonesy. Well, we went an hour and 11 minutes with any reference to the Commanders, which shows you the power of the madness that takes place in March. That's strong. Not that there isn't any scuttlebutt, because there is, but that's pretty impressive. JYD,
what's
welcome
up?
Back. Yes, sir.
Welcome back. I never left, Doc. You know.
Well, we haven't heard a lot since the Super Bowl. I haven't heard from you.
Because I never can get through to your show.
Okay, well, I'm just, you know.
You know, look,
me
Doc,
and Metal.
Doc, come on.
I asked Metal.
Me and you've been knowing each other ever since, way back when our main man, John Thompson, was on there.
Yep.
You know, I'm always there listening. I'm always listening into all the shows, including your boy, what's his name? Kevin.
Coach,
but he don't know. But he never want to talk to me. He talked to everybody but me.
Really?
But anyway,
when we ask him today, he'll be on today.
But here's the kicker right here.
Mm-hmm.
The guy before me, just before you talked to Lou, he was talking about the Nationals and about the baseball. And you know what? In a lot of ways, he was right. The caller was simply because. Mm-hmm. I thought that they was going to make changes with the pitching coach and a few other changes. Because last year, the guy, they had a young guy named Hertz, I think it's an H-E-R-Z. Mm. They had Parker. They had another guy or whatever. These guys should be – we need a pitching coach who demands that the pitchers throw strikes. Throw strikes. The other thing is that when I look at I heard the guy he was talking about the Wizards, man, everybody say the Wizards has lost hope. which in some ways is somewhat true if they continue to go down this pathway. But I'm gonna tell you what, when they get the Cooper flag, I'm still hanging with the Wizards, because I'm gonna tell you, when they get Cooper flag, it's gonna be all in, all in.
He's excellent.
So whatever. And the other thing is that, as far as I was sorry to see what happened to Juju, because I really thought that they might have a chance to get there or whatever. But they still could. They do still have pieces of a good team. But Juju was the engine.
Yep.
So you know, but still some great teams are playing. Whatever, Notre Dame is in there. You still got UConn, you got UCLA or whatever. So you got top notch teams playing for this thing, including in the men's thing or whatever. But anyway,
and we still got it rolling.
But hey, yes indeedy. I'm gonna tell you what, the Commanders are building up for making another Super Bowl run, and up there in Kansas City, Andy Reid is in the laboratory as we speak.
Well, he sure better be, because that they got tore up from the floor up. And I don't care what anybody says, nobody's supposed to be dismembered in the Super Bowl. I mean, I've been there, been done that, got torn up, but that's just not what anybody expected. JYD, good to hear your voice, man. Got to go to break. 1-800-636-1067 is our number. And if you have a take, JYD, he brought some heat, and we love that. Stay with us. 1:20 in the nation's capital. Beautiful time of the year, more in March. This madness thing on the men's and the women's side. I know Major League Baseball, you know, the World Series, that is a fumble, but the College World Series and the softball national championships, it's just great viewing in both sides, where it's just really highly competitive on the men's and the women's side. Really enjoy seeing that. And of course, when locally we have a vested interest in it, we like being good here. We've had a good, nice run, good history, but we like it to be current. And it doesn't hurt the way the hockey team is really represented the nation's capital, having this deal going with Alex, but it's about winning first. Then Ovi, you know, doing incredible things and not looking like his age at all. And then having the Lockers' miraculous return and recovery. And then tomorrow being back with Beninati. And then, with May. And then the ageless brother Koken. The monumental team, man, is on fire, absolutely on fire.
So cool to have Locker back, also.
Beg your pardon?
It's so cool to have Locker back too. Just on time, it feels like, you know.
Yeah, it's everything is coming together, right at the right time. You don't take this for granted, man. He looks good. The video he threw out, man, very well done. And it's one of those, Bob Carpenter announcing "see you later," being that final, and I'm glad he announced it. Now we get the whole season. Not that we weren't embracing; we were always embracing him, but now it's easy to take things for granted, man. Now you won't. You hang on to every call and every moment, and to be a part of it. So it's little thing, but tomorrow's going to be interesting, man. And I cannot wait It's a lot going on right now. And for a non-football related issue, we went from being on the outside, not even, I mean, we were in the thrust in the graveyard of football, and now we're just pumping because we're so eager, and yet we have other things of interest that matter and mean a whole hell of a lot. And we're not being mocked anymore. We have a chance to have that sense of pride, and that's very important. You got some sound on the locker.
I do. You want to hear his comeback announcement here?
Give me as much locker as possible.
Hey, Caps fans, I've got some updates here. It's been 7 long weeks since my operation. I feel fantastic. Lots of working out, lots of heart rehab, and that means my return is right around the corner. I can't wait to get back in the booth Sunday against the Buffalo Sabres. I feel I'm ready. I'm energized, and I'm ready to get back in my seat next to Joe B and all my great teammates in Monumental Sports. It's been a journey for sure, and I couldn't have done it without the great support of the fans, the Capitals organization, Monumental, and my family, of course. I think I'm ready. I'm off the IR, and you've heard it here first. I am back.
You love it. Absolutely love it.
Still got that energy.
Yeah, and it's not fake. It's real. Yeah, it's real. And just seeing a team and then seeing Ovi and seeing it being about winning. You know, and we're lucky. And now we've learned enough not to take anything for granted. One, you know, when you've been the doorknob, the brunt of jokes and your team has been terrible, you learn to never, ever take it for granted. And I don't think anybody around here does. We relish it and can't wait to get after it. So that'll be good. That'll be good. No team comes back intact. You're different. You're going to miss some of the guys that were part of the Commander's special experience. You just got to get over it. It's not going to be the same, especially guys that you really favored. You can't begrudge a guy for going out trying to make some new cash. And although it does seem kind of weird when a guy goes from here to Dallas or from Dallas to here, but you got to get over it.
Well, I mean, the coach being from Dallas, we're gonna draw players from Dallas.
Exactly. Yeah, you're going to get it. It's going to happen. You know, it's just one of those things. And plus, it's no longer, it's not a rivalry. It's in South Philadelphia. And, I mean, that's the bully on the block. And that's what you got to focus on. And
I
New York.
Them both, so whatever. Yeah, I hate them
all. But all of them. I think the whole East. And that's the beauty about that car. Everybody. There's not one, do you dislike New York more? I mean, all of them.
Well, New York is kind of like, it's like kicking a sick dog, man. You just... Come on.
I don't know.
You know, you just got to.
Yeah, but we got to get back to, I mean, all of them. All of them. This Russell Wilson deal, and again, we can't, I don't think we're in a position to overevaluate anybody else's business until you sweep them. But I don't know if this has been one of the least, and maybe because we went through the quarterback deal, when your team is in need of a quarterback, and you're terrible, and you're drafting in the top 4 or 5. I don't think you can ever equal that in terms of your interests. You can't go from second, third pick to the 29th, 26th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 30th. This ain't the same, man. This isn't. But where do you want to be? I want to be at the bottom every year. You know who's at the bottom almost every year? Ravens. Here. So, I mean, you just have to be able to deal with that. Have you had a chance to evaluate the Commanders offseason?
I mean, I don't think we really can until after the draft anyway.
Okay, but where do you stand right now? Where's your gut tell you?
I mean, I think they've done pretty well. I think they've done pretty well. The thing that I seem to see the most is, Adam Peters seems to be willing to get rid of draft picks for free agents, which means at this point he must not think that the free agents or the draft field is as good as it was last year, or at least our position in it isn't as good, and he's not as interested or worried about trading away draft picks if we're getting veteran players in place. So that's kind of the one thing I've taken out of it. But, you know, that,
well, he likes seeing players that have been tested against pros as opposed to guys playing in the Mid-Atlantic Valley Conference.
Sure, but, you know, I mean, he didn't get one of the big, flashy edge rushers. That's what everybody was kind of hoping. Not everybody, but a lot of people were hoping, you know. Miles Garrett or the guy up in Cincinnati. But, like...
Yeah, but look how much money. They're 30-year-old athletes in their 30s. I understand. And they're asking the fortune.
That's
now, the Miles.
The fortune is the
Miles,
going rate.
Maybe. I just think that I'm okay. I wanted to keep away from Philly. As long as Miles is not wearing puke green, I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he's staying in Cleveland. And
sounds like. Oh no, he's staying.
Sure.
Did you hear the money he got? Yeah, he's good.
I mean, sure. And then every now and then, who knows what happens. But, yeah, okay. It looks like he'll be there at least for next season.
What's the most intriguing thing of the offseason in football? Is there a mind scratching?
Maybe
you scratch your mind?
For the Commanders?
No, well, just overall.
I think
to me, the A.A. Aaron thing and the Russell Wilson, we started the show with this.
Yeah.
I am just blown away.
Wait,
by
I don't
two
know.
Guys.
You think Mike Tomlin's trying to get fired? Because I feel like if you bring Aaron Rodgers to your team, you're trying to get fired. Because he got everyone fired around him in the Jets. He's like, do this and do this and do this. And everyone around him got fired but him. I just feel like he goes to the Steelers, you're just going to start seeing coaches and GMs and stuff just get fired left and right. Because that's what Aaron Rodgers brings to your team. But hey, if that's the risk they're willing to take on him. Not something I would want for my career, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know what else is out there for quarterbacks right now, and they definitely need one.
Yeah, the last 5 years, you look at the Steelers, and the Steelers have just been the same copy of themselves. They refuse to break their own model.
Well, they're basically this, like, they have this awesome defense like they did behind, you know, Big Ben. They just don't have this phenomenal quarterback to lead the offense anymore. So
they have it until it breaks down, until one of their pieces is broken.
I mean, the defense,
and it's broken every
year. The defense
year.
Is what keeps them in every season and in games and in every season. But without that Hall of Fame level quarterback back there, which.
And or running game, which they neglect, yeah. They don't have.
Yep. No, you're right. You're right.
They can't control clock. See, the defense is dominant, but they need the clock. They don't control the clock, and they don't maybe – they're broken.
Well, the offense
but they
just,
don't recognize it because
the
they don't have
liability.
That internal so. Conversation that you have to have amongst friends and family to tell you that that jumpsuit you're wearing has been out of style for 10 years.
Hey, maybe that's what they're hoping Aaron Rodgers will bring to them is clock management.
Right.
And stuff,
A-Rod don't bring nothing other than A-Rod.
I know, man. I just
A-Rod brings A-Rod. A-Rod is a separate entity. There's nothing team related about A-Rod. And I love the fact that he's not lying about who he is. When you buy into, that's like bringing a rattlesnake into your bed and then you complain because you got bit.
Yeah.
If you don't want to get bit, don't bring the rattlesnake in the bed.
The scorpion. The scorpion says that, right? You know, helping the grasshopper across the river or whatever, the puddle.
Yeah.
And he says, why'd you sting me? We'll both die or whatever. He's like, it's my nature.
That's
it's what I do.
But this guy has wrecked the Jets, but the Jets are wreckable. They're on the verge of being wrecked all the time until they come in and whitewash everything and clean it, cleanse it, and flip it. Yeah, you know, we know that because it happens just to us. We have been the blueprint of it right here. Break time we go right here on 106.7. The Fan, DOC, and Heavy Metal. We'll be right back. Doc Walker on a hot microphone. Heavy Metal, Behind the Glass, and we are on quite a roll. Well, really, this is hang gliding today, man. So much content, thanks to the madness that it is in March, and of course the men's and the women's side. We've got free agency movement in the league, MLB opening day. I don't know about you, but I still remember opening day because it was, for most of us, the most important. One of the things that I think about often as a regret of not having a somewhat of a reunion with that Dodgers team, that team, if you've ever been undefeated, and I look at that team, now the Yankees, and 25-0, and wondering where each person is, and remembering Herman McCulley, that great leader, because without him, I mean, he one of the best leaders ever. And when you get a great coach early in your career, how that does that define? Does it put you in line? You know, I really believe it does. I believe it has that big an impact on your ultimate career when you have special individuals in your youth. And even though they don't get the credit, they're not paid, but these youth coaches, men and women, have an incredible impact on the sports community, and that's why I will never not mention it. Well, I guess if I was terminated, nobody would hire me for mentioning it, maybe, but I doubt then I'd just be out of the business because it means that much to me. Chris in Damascus, welcome home.
Hey there, big guy. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I enjoy opening day, and I get to do this once a year, and that is to honor Jim Womack, my Little League coach at the Dodgers, and Herman McCulley.
That was the name of your Little League team, the Dodgers?
Yeah, I played the Dodgers and Yankees, yeah. Pony League.
Was that the and you said you went undefeated in Little League throwing left-handed?
I went undefeated in senior, Pony League, 25.
What year? Pony League, that's 15 or 14, right?
Yeah, 13.
13? Yep, okay. Pony League, you went. Yeah. The Nobody
so
knows
I was a Dodger. Dodger 11-12. But it's just
Pony League,
winning.
You had just graduated. Wait a minute, hold up. If you went from Little League to 12, 13 is on the board of Pony, so you went undefeated as a pitcher in Pony League playing with 14 and 15 year olds.
But I only won six games. That's not. I wouldn't. I was a baby.
But that
they
don't
were
matter.
Older.
But
well,
you
it was but because it was 13-14. So it does matter, because it wasn't like I was leading. I was playing short and pitching, so I was a puppy. But the leader of the was the manager, because he told us in our first meeting that we would never lose a game. And I'd never had that happen before.
Who was that gentleman?
Herman McCulley.
And did he? Okay.
And we never lost a game.
That particular year, did y'all get trophy? Did everybody get a trophy, or just you guys?
Yeah, no. Well, no. We the team did. What are you talking about? Everybody, the whole league.
Everybody.
No, I didn't play in the participation. This is 68, 69. No, I didn't play. It was red, white, and blue ribbons.
Right.
Nobody got. I'm damn near 100 years old. Ain't nobody in the hell. Everybody got something.
We had our picture in the paper when we won a little old farm newspaper up here.
Well, that's important.
Did you get all that? The paper and little trophies. Just you guys. Nobody else.
Yeah.
It's all. Everybody's got to get one nowadays. A little ribbon or a little kiss on the cheek or whatever they need. Right.
Yeah. Well, we earned it. They give
well,
them
I
right
know
now.
You did. If you went undefeated, you're the Miami Dolphins of Little League, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
I did have I want to defend two of your callers and kind of pick on you, if I may.
Okay.
Little called him first, and he said, why isn't Davey pitching Mackenzie Gore more than he pitched 93 pitches, and he pitched as best as anyone had done it since who? Doc, you know. Bob Gibson. Do you know how many pitched? And I was wondering how many Bob Gibson pitched on opening day. I don't know that. I don't have Google, Doc.
And I don't even really give a damn. All I know is that I'm not getting into an argument.
So the time, but the man asked, Little asked, and I appreciate his passion. And then and then JYD asked about he was kind of throwing a shot at throwing strikes, and that's a pick on the coaching, pitching coaches. And both are. Davey's not above everything, even though he won the World Series. And neither I do like Sean Doolittle as one of the pitching coaches, and I do look at it, and I'm passionate, and I'm ready to rock. I don't even know why Dylan Cruz is batting eight, but we got a left-hander today. We're going to kick some butt, and I think he should bat right in front of James Wood, and CJ is going to be a big deal, and K-Bear is the big deal. Those are the two for me, Doc. The pitching staff, you know how that goes. Arms will go as far as the arms go, but K-Bear and Abrams are the two on offense, and I'm ready for today, and I just wondered if you view them. I just when somebody calls in like Little and JYD and asks what the Nationals are, because I usually feel like I'm alone. I wanted to support them, and I appreciate your time. Thank you, Doc.
No, we support them too. But if you hear me in a debate on the first day of the season, I want you to come kick me in my ass, okay?
No, I just want you to kind of, I know, I won't do that.
No, that ain't happening.
I know what you're saying. I know
that ain't happening, Slim. That ain't happening. You know it, and I know it too. That is for when you want to be heard. If you want to be heard, go call yourself up on the phone and talk to yourself.
No,
I'm not getting in no damn debate on the first day of the damn season about pitch count.
But Gibson, you could tell Little about Bob Gibson.
I understand all that, but it's you know what? It's called get a life.
All right, brother.
All right. Always a pleasure talking to you, brother.
If I misspoke or misstep, all right, nice.
No, you ain't misspoke nothing. You just got played by Little. All right? You just got played.
Okay.
Always appreciate talking to you, Chris. Always appreciate talking to
you. You too. I love you. Thank you. Have a good day. Go Nats.
Little, man. He's something else. Trying to get raising people's dandruff in the first game of the year. The man pissed his ass off. What, you wanted to throw nine innings in the first game of the year? Throw his arm out, really? I don't even believe you believe that.
That'd be insane. I mean, it's the first game of the season. He pitched a phenomenal game.
You know what?
He pitched a phenomenal
game. Little knows that too. That's why I love him. He knows it too. He just put a fly in the ointment to see if you're going to bite. He used to call him that young kid that's on here screaming and hollering all the time. See, he would have got him. See, that's exactly what he was doing. He was just trolling. But one good thing, one benefit of age is that it gives you some experience. You don't chase every car. You just learn not to. You got to pick your spots. So, but good try. Good try. I ain't mad at you. Not mad at you at all. 1-800-636-1067 is our number. And we'll slide aside, take another quick break. We're still going to have Coach Sheehan is going to join us, like J.P. Finley, all the Terp grads. And rightfully so, I love the passion. They're not happy with the way some things have handled. But I guarantee you, they're happy to be back in the discussion about prominence in college basketball because they're used to it. Stay with us. It's 1:52 in the nation's capital, and it just dawned on me, for all of you heavy metal fanatics, that we had not had a heavy metal moment with Christopher. And that is a tradition whenever we share a microphone. And so we got to give all of our heavy metal fans what they tune in for. And that is the update.
Well, so I was actually on vacation most of last week, and I didn't actually go to any shows during that time. Took my kids and my girl out to Pittsburgh. And we did have a fun time doing a lot of stuff like seeing the zoo and the aviary and the children's museum and things there. You got a lot of cool stuff in Pittsburgh for kids. But I did go to a show a little before that that was actually pretty phenomenal. You probably never heard of the band X-Hoarder before, but they were a major influence of Pantera before Pantera got real big and famous. And they played D.C. at Comet Ping Pong recently, and I actually got to see them there. That was pretty awesome. It's a pretty small room for a band to see a band in, and it's always good, if you ask me, to see thrash metal bands in small rooms. That's the best time. Because everybody's kind of crowded, and the mosh pits are the most fun that way, I think. So, you know.
You know, I thought for a moment that you were about to fail your audience. And
I got some big ones coming up in May. May is going to be a fun time for me, so.
Okay, well, good. I was about to say, is he about to break a record and fail the audience for the first time ever? And about what I did, and I'm going to do. Nobody calls. They don't tune in here to hear you tell them what you didn't do. They're here to get insight.
Oh, and I know,
They can't. They can't get this anywhere else, anywhere.
I actually looked to see if there were any metal shows going on in Pittsburgh while I was up there, but there were not. Nothing I could find. There's like one the day after I left and things like that, but there are no shows. Because I do love seeing bands when I travel. It's always fun to check out different concert venues in different cities and stuff like that. So, but unfortunately, I did not see any in Pittsburgh. But, you know, Comet Ping Pong, that was cool. They don't get a lot of metal shows there. It's more of an indie rock kind of place. And it's cool when they get one every now and then. So that was fun.
Okay, do people come up and do you ever ask you questions or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I know most of the metalheads in town. So I can't go to a concert alone. I'll put it that way. Even if I walk in by myself, I'll know people there. So that's the fun. You know, when it didn't used to be that way before I started my website and stuff and things. But now, you know, I can go to pretty much any concert venue on pretty much the East Coast, and I'll run into somebody I'll know. It's kind of amazing. You never really expect it in some places, but I'll go to New York and run into people I know, or like Philadelphia or things like that. It's kind of odd. You know, I was out at a concert in Denver like 8 years ago and ran into somebody I know that used to live out here. It's just random. But, you know, it's fun. It's kind of being part of the community like that. You know, it's you kind of got friends everywhere, and that's the fun of it. So,
yeah, a lot of carry over to like the hoops community, you know, kind of like the same similarities
sure.
to it.
I mean, sports has a lot in common with that kind of stuff, too, you know. And instead of people having their favorite sports teams or whatever, you got your favorite bands that you follow. And if you follow people that are diehard fans of a certain team and you're a diehard fan of them, too, you guys kind of have a certain bond even before you really know each other, you know. And it works that way with music and stuff,
too. Well, but the music and the rhythm and the style, I think it translates more to hoops than any other sports. And but it's all good, you know, as long as people find vibe. You know, it's all about the vibe. And we, because of March, we probably don't spend as much on the NBA as we do talking about the collegiates. But a lot of vibe went on Bron with McAfee and then Stephen A. And I love your take on that. If you any of it rolled past you, if it didn't, it's no problem. But I find now that during our lifetime at this particular point, because of all the access and everybody's got a podcast, everybody's got YouTube, it's a beautiful thing because of expression. But I just thought that did we hit a new mark this week?
So I had talked to you about this before when it first kind of started, and it was just kind of the, you know, LeBron confronts Stephen A. on the court side about his son kind of thing. Obviously, a lot of stuff has happened since then. Stephen A. Smith just keeps going for low blows, man. It's like watching a boxing match, and one guy just keeps hitting below the belt, and you're like, come on, man, I got to start awarding points to the other guy. It just seems, I don't know, man, the whole thing seems ridiculous. I feel like Stephen A. at this point is just trying to troll LeBron to increase his own Q rating, get more eyeballs on him.
You didn't hear LeBron put him in there when he was going in the fighting video?
Oh, come on. Yeah, the idea of Stephen A. Smith swinging at LeBron is hilarious. It's like me trying to swing on the Incredible Hulk or something. Like, what are you talking about, man?
But you sound, just based on what you just said, you sound like you have leaned on one side.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like a lot of this is Stephen A. Smith just trying to perpetuate a thing to help himself get higher ratings and more eyeballs. The guy's craves attention, you know, and he's getting it.
But I'll say this.
He's getting it.
And this is the beauty about the medium. And I don't begrudge what you're saying. I think it's cool. Because all of it, to me, is the dramatics of what we do. It's media. It goes back and forth. But I had to go back and listen to it because I didn't hear it live. And I went back and I go, I think you could. And I go, well, how will this be perceived? And if you didn't know either guy, which guy would you think is taking out the low road? And it's interesting how you picked up on that based on your point. Because I would think,
I mean, bringing up stuff like funerals and I'll just like, come on, man. That's not even what any of this was supposed to be about. I don't know. But then, you know, the other thing too is what one of the first rules of like journalism is like you report the story, you don't become the story. And Stephen A. Smith has definitely made himself the story here, you know.
So you don't think James has any fault in this at all?
I'm not saying that. He's probably, I feel like the, it's like, you know, when they say don't read the comments and you start answering the trolls and then you start saying stupid stuff to the trolls and they're just trying to taunt you. It's like, don't let yourself get drug into all this. And it's, the fact he keeps responding, I don't know. I'll be curious to see if he actually says anything else or not.
Yeah, I mean, I find the whole thing is interesting, and whoever gets them on, because it's all ratings. I mean,
yeah.
Step back from it in a moment and go, who wins? Whoever's...
LeBron doesn't matter the ratings as much. He's, you know, he's not a reporter that's on TV. It doesn't really matter that way.
Well,
to him,
I think you would further review. He's got production companies. He's got podcasts. I think he's all ratings. It's all about his companies and his podcasts and the things that he promotes. He's an industry within himself. I think if the further you dig into this, I think that'll become a part of it. I'm not saying it's a negative. I'm just saying it's real. I don't think he's as innocent as you predict, as you leading people who don't know this to believe.
Maybe he is trying to get people to read it or listen to his podcast or something. I don't know. It just whole thing just seems like...
I was kind of disappointed, and maybe I'm looking at it a different way because it's all about money, no matter what you say. It's all about ratings. It's the industry. But I was like, I was like going, wow. It probably deserves its own separate format, its own separate show to go to it. But I will be interested as to how it is perceived. I really am, because I cannot believe, I really can't believe a lot of it. But again, in our industry now, hey man, anything goes. You know, anything goes. So, but I couldn't wait to get your opinion. Had you paid attention? If you didn't pay attention, then then it's zero. It means nothing. Because both guys could be, you know, just doing their thing for money and ratings and interest and building shows and building value and building your cum and blah, 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 blah. It could go to that. But just heard from the Sheehan camp, and he must be playing well today. So we'll be able to get him on the turn at 2:30. So let's log up some moments now. We'll pay a few bills, take a break. We'll come back. Kevin Sheehan, bottom of the hour, right here on Overtime.